We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined by Raleigh County Police Department Director Dennis Butler via telephone as we are conducting all of our In Focus interviews currently via telephone to practice social distancing, practicing what we preach to others here in the community. And wanted to talk a little bit about efforts that are ongoing at the jail, because that's one place in particular that has a lot of people coming and going. What's kind of the protocol right now, Director Butler, to keep inmates safe and keep staff safe there?
Well, early on when this first started, we suspended in-person visits to inmates from people in the community. I thought they would be very upset about that, but they understood that we're trying to protect them and the inmate population from infection. We did not impose the same restriction for attorneys, however, because I felt pretty strongly that their legal counsel should have access to them. My understanding is that the legal counsel are communicating with their clients via telephone, and if they have materials that they would like their clients to have access to, they're dropping it off, and our staff is delivering it to the inmates. So that was the first thing that we did. The other thing that we're doing to try to prevent an infection from occurring in the jail is anytime an inmate is brought in, before they're brought into the facility, they're questioned about their physical health, where they've been, you know, like the same questions many of you have heard. Have you been out of state? Have you traveled overseas? Have you been in contact with anybody that you know now has the coronavirus? And we take their temperature. We also take the temperature of the officer who's bringing them in. So every time a new inmate is brought into the jail, that triage occurs to make sure that we don't introduce the virus into the jail. Now, if we do have somebody come into the jail and we are concerned about potential exposure, we do have a pod, a medical pod, that we can put them in and isolate them and observe. We also have a jail nurse that can also assist with assessing their health. And then if we find out somebody is suspected of exposure or is sick, then, of course, we'll contact the health department and our doctor and then follow their advice on what to do next. In addition, I mentioned about taking temperatures. We also are doing that with our patrol officers every day they come to work. So they know not to come, as I mentioned earlier, but we, as a precaution, they may not know they're sick. We take their temperature to make sure they are, that they're not sick. And then we also require them between shifts, because they share cars, to disinfect their patrol car. We've got a supply of disinfectant, so they wipe everything down to do our very best to kill any germs, whether they're COVID-19 or something else. So we're taking those steps. So it's slowing things down to a degree, but we think the precautions are appropriate for what we're dealing with.
As far as this is something I had been thinking about here the last couple of weeks, is with the courts being virtually shut down, a lot of cases have been, you know, continued. If you get some people arrested in there, which luckily that's not happening on a serious basis right now, but if crime did tick up and you had to make some arrests, any worry about, you know, capacity or how slowly things are moving through the courts and getting people in and out of the jail?
Currently, we're not worried about our capacity. We have sufficient space if there were a spike in arrests. In terms of what happens with the court system, we've had remote capabilities for bond hearings and first appearances, if it's necessary, with the district court for some time. Ironically, and just coincidentally, we've been talking to the municipal court for quite a while about instituting the same practice, so it would eliminate the need from physically having to take inmates over to the jail, over to the court for those hearings. And so both courts now can meet with defendants for bond hearings remotely without us having to take them over there. So I know the courts have restricted their operations in many ways. I know they're not having jury trials right now because of the potential of exposing older citizens to the coronavirus. But in terms of when a person gets arrested and having their court case have the minimal steps taken to protect their rights, all those things are still occurring right now.
All right. And as far as keeping prisoners or inmates spread apart, that's occurring, I imagine, already.
Yeah, they live in what we call pods, and we have several pods. And so except at night, you know, when they're sleeping, they are out and about, but we are continuing to encourage them to maintain proper distance from one another. And it's a challenge, as you can imagine, but they are confined, and we can't let them go. So we have to keep them there. And you might argue, well, we could use this other pod that we have where we would put someone who we suspect of being infected, but that requires more staff. And right now, we don't have more staff to do that. So we really do need to try to keep them in as few pods as possible so we can adequately supervise them.
Certainly. Again, we're talking with RCPD Director Dennis Butler, talking all things how COVID-19 is impacting the police department. What about the mental health aspect and keeping employees' morale up during this crisis? Because it's challenging in several different facets of life right now.
You know, it is a challenge. I message our employees weekly with positive messaging, and it's not made up positive messaging. I'm really seeing some amazing things and creativity occur here within the department by our staff, and it's not all command staff coming up with great ideas. A lot of line employees come up with suggestions with a way, and but I still think it's important for me to recognize that and message to them what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing that. But we also are encouraging them to access our employee assistance program if they need it. Because sometimes it's not just work stress, there's stress at home, having kids home from school. I can imagine some of these parents probably are ready for their kids to go back to school now who are working from home, and that does create some stress. We also have an internal peer support team that is available to assist our employees confidentially if they need someone to talk to. But we are doing our very best to be flexible with the needs of our employees so they can work, but also take care of parents or sick family members, sometimes themselves being sick and staying home and working. I think being flexible like that while we still get the job done is making a big difference in preserving a positive outlook and preserving their mental health at the same time.
Is that the most challenging part, being a manager, basically, with any employee who has kids because of the schools being shut down and trying to manage that aspect?
I can't imagine. You know, my kids are grown now, but when they were younger, and if we were faced with a similar situation, I think for most people, just based on what I know about human nature, if they knew when it was going to end, I think it would be easier to manage emotionally. But not knowing when it will end, not knowing when this will be over, I think is what adds really to the stress. And as I mentioned to you during the break, I just try to look at this. I mean, there's some long-term planning I have to do myself, but I encourage our employees to take one day at a time. I've been through a lot of very serious public crises in my career, and it always ends, and we always move on, and things get back to normal, and I have every confidence that's going to happen here. The only additional stress besides not knowing when it's going to end is the financial impact this has had on some employees. I know some employees have family members that are not getting paid right now, have lost their jobs, been laid off. So the financial aspect of this is another big issue. We're paying our employees, and whether they're working or if they're home on self-isolation, they're being paid. Most of them who are on self-isolation are working. They're just working from home. So again, being flexible, I think, is the key for us to keep our workforce healthy.
All right. Well, I know there's a lot of good things happening right now at the police department as well. You're seeing that from the community as we've talked a little bit here off the air. Just generosity, huh?
Yeah, we've received emails and messaging from folks who are appreciative of us still being here and providing services. Some of the restaurants in town that can't have sit-in dining right now just show up unannounced and drop off a bunch of food for all of our employees to have. And it's just really heartwarming. It's really nice to see. I know the employees really appreciate that. But with that said, you know, I really want to tip my hat and acknowledge our healthcare workers, our EMS workers, who really have to interact with people that could be sick and who could make them sick. This has got to be tremendously stressful for them, especially if they're challenged, and I don't know if locally it's a challenge, but challenged with having proper protective equipment to wear during these encounters. You've seen, you know, some stories on the East Coast where that's a big deal. So not only are they challenged with having the proper equipment to protect themselves, but then they have to worry about, am I going to get infected and take it home to my family? So I'd really, really want to acknowledge strongly how important I think it is that we keep them in mind and do our best to support them as well.
Yeah, no doubt. They've got a tall task ahead of them for who knows how much longer. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up our conversation here with Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.